This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Chris asks, it doesn't matter how much better you've got dealing with it, Chris, it's still gonna hurt you. Same as he hurt with Lou, same as he's gonna hurt with Brooke, same as he's gonna hurt with Pat, same as he's gonna hurt with Bobby. Those are my guys. Same as he's gonna hurt, like.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The guys that won the championship with, they're not here. you know, and most of them are trying to have a relationship with you, you know, like bring to the forest one of that. So I'm in San Antonio. But it doesn't matter, as much as you able to deal with it, it still hurts. Because those are your guys that, especially the guys that you've won with, they're like family to you.
Giannis Antetokounmpo on the trade of Chris Middleton, his good friend yesterday. Interesting comments there from Giannis. Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Micah Hyde, former Packers defensive back, is going to be joining at 10 a.m. today. Of course, Micah Hyde retiring from the NFL. So we got the Mason Crosby retirement that, of course, Mason broke the news on earlier this week. Now we get to talk to Micah Hyde at 10 a.m. So looking forward to that later today with Mitch and Mason. Also, Vegas College Basketball Championships. Heck yeah, it's a slam dunk in Vegas national contest. Winning is super easy. Download the free Odyssey app today. Log in and listen to The Fan or any participating Odyssey station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. Prizes, a ton of them. Travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim, plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championships. Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Fan today. All right, we've got Ty Windisch, the Eurostep podcast. You can find him on social media at Ty Windisch. Ty, it is phenomenal to be chatting with you, especially today. Tons going on. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. You know, first cup of coffee working on right now. I don't think it's going to be the last today ahead of the 2 p.m. trade deadline and whatever else is coming for the Bucks and for the league. It has been one of the craziest NBA weeks I can remember. But I'm doing well. I'm hanging in with everything going on and appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun conversation. We'll get to some fake trades, what Milwaukee can still do. Before we get there, I just want to recap for everyone. I haven't had the opportunity to go through the full trade terms as of yet. So Bucks get Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Jericho Sims, 2025 second round pick. The Wizards get Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, 2028 first round pick swap from Milwaukee. Knicks get DeLon Wright and cash. The Bucks send out Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, DeLon Wright, 2028 first round pick swap and cash. They ultimately get Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin, Jericho Sims, 2025 second round pick. So that's sort of the gist of it. Also, they did not have to trade their first or second round pick in 2031. They got under the second apron, which is a huge aspect of this. They now have the ability to send out cash, which is what they did in the Jericho Sims trade. They can now aggregate trades, and their 2032 pick is not going to be frozen, at least unless they go back over that second apron, which seems very unlikely. All right, Ty, am I missing anything there first and foremost from the details of the trade?
You nailed it. I will make one minor correction. Once the deal is official, it's not yet, which I think they're still trying to route Baldwin somewhere. You know, it's still, in addition to other needs, looking to probably make that spot for Ryan Rollins. They actually won't be able to go above the second apron again. Once you do anything that an apron prevents you from doing, you basically get hard capped at that apron. So once they aggregate salaries here, they'll be locked at that second apron number, which is the reason why they can't just waive a player and then sign Rollins if they're really close to that apron, because technically it'd be illegal. They wouldn't be able to do that.
Gotta love all of the minutia and rules of the NBA to keep us on our toes. Yeah. I appreciate that a ton. Before we dive super deep into the trade itself, what I really want to start with is Chris Middleton's career in Milwaukee. It is now obviously officially done. He heads to the Wizards for now. It sounds like they're going to probably hold on to him, but we'll see if that ends up being the case. Just thoughts in general on Middleton's unbelievable career in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think it's really tough to see it end, and I think very emotional few days for a lot of the fans here. I think because the reports for weeks now where the Bucks were looking at players like Zach LaVine or Jimmy Butler, potentially Bradley Beal, and even outside of some reporting out there that Middleton was in those talks. People like me and diehard fans, if you study the cap a bit, they're not going to bring back a player like that who makes a salary like that without sending out Middleton. So you kind of knew probably more than in quite a long time that Middleton could be moved. And you kind of started to come to grips with it. And, you hear the Kuzma deal. And I think at first on the face, it's just I don't want to trade Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma straight up. But to some great points you made earlier, it's about flexibility. It's about everything else. But that doesn't make it easier to give up. Really, I think a franchise legend and, someone who's 22 should be retired, should certainly be set aside. No one should be wearing that in Bucks history ever again. And I think I'll always remember Chris as a gamer. You know, it's the circumstances were usually not great for Chris. You know, he was a player a lot of people didn't believe in, even outside of the injury thing. And, you know, leading the Bucks with Giannis, of course. I mean, Giannis leading the way, but Chris there in the half court, running the offense, scoring 40 in the playoffs and in the finals to get the Bucks that first title in 40 years, I'll always remember. And then playing through the two bad ankles against Indiana this summer, I think really encapsulates what Chris was about. You know, I think he missed a lot of time, of course, and that was probably a core element of why he was moved, but I don't think it was anything on his fault. I think it was unfortunate things that kept happening to him that he played through as much as possible for the Bucks and left it all out there. And I'll always appreciate what Chris Middleton did as a Milwaukee Buck.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The shots he made in game six, especially, you know, will live with me forever. Was at that game, seeing him do it live was special. He was such a key and instrumental piece in getting a championship back in Milwaukee. Obviously, the consummate professional, just somebody that you could, you know, until unfortunately the injuries derailed it a little bit, but could rely upon and depend upon game in and game out. The 1-2 game with Giannis that they developed, again, prior to the injuries was special. Just a very special player, and to be sort of the throw-in in the Brandon Jennings trade, and to be able to go from that and then to develop into what he became, into this, you know, really all-star caliber player, just a really, really special story. And I think, again, an unbelievable key piece to a championship run as well.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing that really happens, right? I mean, I think you look back at Middleton's Bucks career and, you know, it's like a movie, right? I mean, this guy was he only was in the trade because his contract was the one that made the Jennings for Knight swap work, and he was in the G League most of that season, and he comes in and battles with Giannis really hard for minutes, the unheralded but exciting prospect, and for those two guys to end up leading the Bucks to a championship about 10 years after that, not quite, you know, more than half a decade after that you know, bad start. I think they were the two lowest rated 2K players in their first 2K together on the Bucks. I mean, it's really something, and I think it's kind of storybook, and Chris Middleton doesn't get books written about him. Maybe we'll see, maybe he will, but like Giannis does, or movies and everything else that we've seen. But it is, his story is, you know, with the Bucks, a storybook. It's a sad ending, unfortunately, to that story for now, but yeah, I think you got to just enjoy all the great times that, you know, Chris Middleton gave Milwaukee.
Could not agree more. We're being joined by Ty Windisch, Eurostep Podcast. You can find him on social media at Ty Windisch. All right, Ty, let's get your reactions to this trade as a whole. Now, prior to, you had watched Kyle Kuzma's 31-point game against the Wizards, and before the trade said, quote, the Bucks should under no circumstances acquire this player. They did, under some circumstances, acquire said player. How are you feeling about it after the trade, having some time to kind of think about it? In totality, how do you feel about this trade?
Yeah, I think from the Bucks' perspective, their hope is they didn't acquire that player. They're hoping that they acquired the version of Kuzma we've seen in years past. And what I mean by that is, of course, a lot of people have pointed to Lakers Kuz, who was, I would not say the third player, but an integral role player on their title team when they won in 2020, and was really good, I would say, throughout his Lakers career. And I've had people reach out to me and say, you know, he hasn't phoned it in for the entire Wizards tenure. He's been in Washington for, I think this was his fourth year there now. This year, things kind of took a turn, I'd say, for Kuzma in Washington, with he's not on the ball as much. The defensive intensity waned. I believe the Wizards are 8-40, which, of course, has a lot to do with some of these things going on with him. And the Bucks, I think, are buying in on they can get back to a version of Kuzma who is just going to be more involved defensively and probably moving more offensively, too. You know, the guy I saw his season high against the Wolves was just really, you know, moved with intention when he was about to get the ball and get a shot up. And, you know, defensively, it was fine. I mean, he wasn't like a C. If he is 6'9", he does move well. But, you know, it was, you know, a half-hearted closeout or, you know, grabbing a rebound but maybe not doing a bunch of boxing out beforehand. So I think these are things that can be fixed. You know, it's different than extrapolating an injury recovery or a player turning back the clock. I mean, this should be, you know, kind of the prime for Kyle Kuzma. And I don't think he's lost any of his ability. There's no debilitating injury he's battling. They just need a bit more buy-in and more focus from Kuzma. And, you know, it seems like he's excited to get to Milwaukee. You know, he waived the at least part of his trade kicker, making the Bucks able to stay below that second apron. And he's already posting. He was at the facility last night, probably, you know, doing a physical or something like that. So, you know, it's early signs are good, but, you know, we got to see it on the court. But I do think that they do want a lot from Kuzma. I think he is a focus. I also think, you know, adding a draft pick, which is really, I guess, the cost of putting A.J. Johnson in that deal, and gaining the ability to aggregate salaries, the Bucks are open to make another move today. And I think the whole Middleton thing will make more sense to me. Not saying I am on board necessarily or I'm all for it, but if you're adding multiple players that you just couldn't do if you had kept Chris Middleton on the roster to kind of retrofit this roster to be more athletic and more two-way around Giannis and Dame, then I will feel like at least the Bucks' needs have been addressed in a way that right now, if the deadline was just over like this for the Bucks, I don't think I would really get there. I don't know if this move would feel worthwhile to me.
Oh, it's a really interesting, you know, sort of thought process, because right now it's hard to judge everything. We're right in the middle of it. And to your point, if this leads to some things today that they add a big time player somehow by aggregating those salaries, it's kind of all part of one big trade, and it's tough to evaluate in the moment because we don't know the second shoe hasn't fallen yet, right? If this is the end of it, then it's again a very different connotation as well. Or if they somehow make a trade that also makes this worse, that's going to have a different connotation as well. So we're sort of in the middle of it, and we're trying to evaluate it in real time, which is always fun. But yeah, I do think those things are worth noting, that this could be just part of something either bigger, or also there could be something on top of that that does change the conversation here. What is the best case scenario for Kyle Kuzma? Like, is there a scenario where he comes in and is a real, true, significant piece on this team? Or like, what do you see as like, what could be the best thing that we could hope for from him coming to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think the best case scenario for Kyle Kuzma is he becomes the Bucks' third leading scorer, and he is able to unlock Giannis at the five lineups. And I think that means that he is working hard to not just defend and like switch defensively, which I think is what a lot of people think of when they are thinking of that player next to Giannis to enable his lineups at the five to work better. But a lot of it is rebounding. And I do think that's been a strength of Kuzma's over his career, and that's something he could really help bring. You know, you think of PJ Tucker, who is always like the, you know, the guy you throw out as the example of the player who made those lineups work. He was a great defender. I mean, he took on a lot of assignments, but I think his rebounding was probably even better than his defense, and I think the same is probably true for Kuzma. Not comparing them as players. They're vastly different players, but I think Kuzma is a good rebounder too. So I think the bought-in Kuzma, where he's working hard defensively, he's cleaning the glass, and then offensively, I'm not expecting a career three-point shooting season. I know a lot of people are looking to, well, 28% this year, that's terrible, and it is, but more like 34% with the Lakers. I think he can get closer to that league average number with the Bucks. But I think offensively, for him to make a big difference, the things I'm going to look for are, can he take the ball when defenses are trapping or blitzing Giannis and Dame, and then create for himself and his teammates out of it? Usually a guy who has a few assists per game and a few turnovers, but also someone who can create a shot for himself and can get to the rim and get moving downhill and cut. So I think it's not as binary for me on the offensive end as can he hit shots or not, can he hit threes or not, I should say. But it's, okay, can he use that athleticism, you know, that number one trait I would say that, you know, the Bucks were probably looking for in a Chris Middleton deal that they needed to add to this roster. Can he take the ball and then get to the rim and finish more often, or, you know, create an open three for someone? Whereas right now it feels like sometimes Dame gets trapped and the Bucks still don't generate that great of shots following that. I think that's got to be a focus for Milwaukee. So that's what I'm looking for on both ends. You know, Kuzma to be switchable and a big rebounder on defense, and then offensively, just able to use this space he's going to have. He hasn't seen anywhere close to this much space for, you know, 4 years now since he's been a Wizard, and really, you know, be polished and super efficient offensively.
it's quite the different scenario for Kyle Kuzma going from the Wizards to the Bucks, and he's going to definitely be in a lot better position, hopefully see some more wide open threes. Hopefully all of that contributes to seeing a resurgence in what he's been doing in what has been a career worst season for him so far. Again, we're talking to Ty Windisch, Eurostep podcast. Follow him on social media at Ty Windisch. All right, let's talk about where this Bucks team stands right now, and more importantly, what they could do moving forward. I know you've been putting together some fake trades. Ty, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first and react to my dumb idiot takes, or what would you prefer here?
You go. I'd love to hear yours first.
Well, do mine. And again, you are far more in tune with the minutiae of the CBA, so some of these might not be possible, but we'll go through these. All right, so one of the names out there, and I think you floated this one a little bit as well, is DeAndre Hunter. There is a report from, I think, Chris Mannix this morning that it sounds like the Cavs are maybe working on something with Hunter, so that could end up being much ado about nothing. But does Portis plus Connaughton plus assets, I'll say, which seemingly would work for DeAndre Hunter, does that do anything for you?
Yeah, he's one of the names I'm most excited about, and that would work CBA-wise. That's an easier lift contractually, and again, that's what I meant earlier when I said, okay, if it's Middleton for Kuzma, and then also the ability to have more draft assets and be able to flip two more players for someone like Hunter, who would be an impact starter, I think, in Milwaukee and kind of slot in next to Dame as that two-way player who provides you good spacing. He's been 38% from three for back-to-back years now, then the move starts to really crystallize, and I see the vision a lot more. So, yeah, I think this would be a great one. I think Hunter has played better overall this year, but I the Hawks, you know, technically a playoff contender, 1-9 in their last 10 in the ninth seed, just lost one of their two best players, Jalen Johnson, Milwaukee's own, for the season. So don't really think that they're looking to, you know, pedal to the metal and contend right now by any means. I do think, you know, maybe they're not openly shopping him like they are some of their older vets, but I'm sure he's available. I don't know exactly how much draft capital, but that's one of probably the few names that I think I'd be really excited about the Bucks obtaining before 2 p.m. today.
Love it. All right, so this one I'm not sure is going to be maybe as feasible from the team trading him away. They're in a different spot, more interesting spot, but basically Portis Connaughton plus, again, assets to the Spurs for Keldon Johnson.
Oh, I haven't thought about Keldon as much. So this is interesting to me. I'm a little worried about him as a spacer. He's not been a great shooter, but he certainly did tear up the Bucks in their last game against the Spurs, showing what he can do. Certainly a more athletic player, has two-way potential. I don't know that he is like a lock-in defender right now. But my main concern with someone like Keldon Johnson would just be, I don't know if he's going to knock down enough of the threes. And I do think now in this post-Chris trade world, the three-point shooting becomes a bit more important. You know, you add Kuzma, you add Sims, you have some more size, some more rebounding, maybe some more switchability. But neither of those players is really a spacer. And Johnson kind of down from his 35% average to 30% this year.
Sure.
So I wouldn't be as excited. It would be very interesting to see, but not probably one of the players I'm really hoping to see the Bucks bring in.
Part of it that I would like is the infusion of athleticism. I think, again, you start going with Giannis big lineups and get Giannis, Kuzma, Keldon, Dame, and then enter whatever, you know, other AJ Green or Gary Trent Jr., Andre Jackson, etc. Just some of the athleticism that you could get out there, I think, could be really fun. But I do totally agree, especially come playoff time, the three-point shooting is going to be important. You sort of already bummed me out. It seems like Cam Johnson is probably not going to be a viable option. There's also been some news out there that maybe he's not going to get moved in the end anyway, but it doesn't really feel like, outside of putting Lopez in, which then creates some other issues, that this is going to be something. So I think that one seems kind of out the window and probably a little bit pie in the sky. Am I wrong in thinking that?
I maybe said too strongly that it just doesn't work. So the thing about Johnson is, you look at him when you're doing the salary matching game, you see $22.5 million as his salary for the year, but that's before the unlikely bonuses, and the unlikely bonuses, they don't count towards salary matching and trades, but they do count toward the apron. And as I said before, the Bucks will be hard capped at the apron. If this all sounds like gibberish, that's okay. But I think they could still reroute Kuzma there technically. I don't think that's their intention. I think they do want to keep him. Or, you know, something like Portis, Connaughton, Beauchamp, and then another player. But at that point, then it's like, I'm not sure if they would really have enough space below that cap, even if the salaries matched, to fill up the roster. So I think it'd be difficult. It's not impossible, but I think difficult to add the Nets' Cameron Johnson.
I have one last one for you. I actually low-key like this one. I think most people maybe aren't going to like this one. I don't know why. Maybe I'm undervaluing what it would take to get this player as well. I know you brought up another Chicago Bull, but I'm bringing up a different one. I think you had Lonzo Ball maybe on your list, at least based on your social media. But I kind of like Connaughton plus Beauchamp plus assets for Coby White as another guard in the backcourt for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think I really like Coby White as a player. It helps that he's had some great games against the Bucks, and it does sound like Chicago is not opposed to moving him. I never know what their plan is. They look like they're right. going to do a full rebuild, but they get no picks except for their own, and now they extend Lonzo, but they could still trade him. He's not untradeable now. Coby White, I worry a little about the defensive chops, but I don't think he's a bad defender, and I do think if you were able to get him, let's say a pair of seconds and maybe retain that first, I do think that's a big talent upgrade. I mean, it kind of takes away Rollins' spot, but Coby White is just going to give you more offensively than Rollins, and you're still doing 2-for-1. You would still have that roster spot to convert him and just have more depth. It'd be a really exciting addition and definitely would add some dynamism and spacing to the Bucks that they could still use even post these trades. So I wouldn't be mad at that by any means. I am targeting Ball more, but Coby White would be a really fun add too.
And just another ball handler, especially in the non-Dame lineups. Obviously, Rollins can do that as well, but somebody else that can kind of help in that regard as well. All right, those were my nerdy ones. What do you got, Ty? What nerdy ones do you have on your list?
I mean, like I said, Lonzo's my number one. It's still an injury risk, and I understand if people would want to shy away from him, but he's played like 30 games this year. He's basically not doing back-to-backs, but you know, fielding a good amount of minutes, starting in some of these games for the Bulls, and I think just is an ideal fit as a player next to Dame in that backcourt where he's a good defender. He's got good anticipation. There's some great, you know, film of him like jumping, passing lanes, steals, running the floor. He's a good shooter, and he's just a good ball mover too. You know, I think he really another player who could help. Like if he's getting the rock when Dame is doubled, he can then go playmake in a 3-on-2 really effectively, or just take the shot. So that's probably my number one in terms of fit. And I think that extension the Bulls gave him, it's like $10 million a year, and the second year is a team option. So a ton of flexibility as we look at Milwaukee, you know, having way a bunch of space below the tax and the aprons and stuff next year to retain players or make some moves or use like a mid-level exception. That excites me a lot. I also have a little bit of interest in another Bull, Ayo Dosunmu, young defensive-minded guard. Again, like I don't know what their priorities are. I don't know who they want to keep and who they don't. But I think the Bucks should be on the phone there with the Chicago rivals, seeing who they can poach. Another nerdy one for you would not be a big salary move, but the Sixers are interested in moving players around and reducing salary. If you could get in on Gershon Yabusele, maybe for a couple of seconds. Probably not as crucial anymore, though, post the Kyle Kuzma move, but a 4-5, a rumbler who's really can do some driving with the ball, is good, switchable defensively, and would just give you options there. But maybe that one makes more sense if there's another trade happening where someone like a Portis would be going out for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I love those. It's going to be really interesting. I think hopefully today is another very fun day on the NBA trade landscape. Like you said, it has been an unbelievable couple weeks with everything that has happened. We're again being joined by Ty Windisch, Eurostep Podcast, at Ty Windisch on social media. Just to kind of wrap things up here, as we look at the trade landscape in totality, as we look at this Bucks roster in totality, what are you looking for today? What surprised you most? I'll just let the floor is yours, Ty. Go in any direction that you want to go with everything that's happened so far and what maybe still could come.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how the West has felt a lot more involved in the East, which is probably good news for the Bucks. You know, I think part of it is because the top teams in the East have been relatively established. You know, I think the Cavs may make a move like Hunter, but also very possible they just stand pat there first. You know, Boston, they did a salary dump to get rid of Jaden Springer, right? Like they're locked into their core, and there's not a lot of flexibility there. They're in the second apron, and it does not look like they're going to duck it. And then the Knicks, you know, a minor move like switching Sims for DeLon Wright, nothing big for them so far either. So I think it's an opportunity for the Bucks to maybe get their team a little more suited for modern basketball, a little more athletic, a little more switchable. But the West then is just going crazy with the Warriors getting Jimmy Butler, the Lakers getting Luka, the Mavs getting Doncic. Like, it goes on. And I guess Brandon Ingram now is a Raptor. That's not really a factor this year's playoff push, but still so many big names being moved. There still is usually action ahead of the deadline. So now the question is there going to be more of the more standard business today of, you know, players like Hunter or Bogdan Bogdanovich or, you know, not these incredible names getting moved? Or is there still going to be, you know, a major piece? My bet is it's a lot more of the smaller moves, but it feels like you really never know in this league. But I think the Lakers going out and paying quite a bit to get Mark Williams, a young center who's had some availability issues for Charlotte, but is huge, has potential. Saw him against the Bucks last night. That's a fascinating one for me of L.A. suddenly getting really aggressive with those first in the post-Luka trade world and trying to give him what he's looking for, a vertical spacer. I think they're not a perfect team. I would not pick them to win the title. But I've got to say, even though I usually am like, it's enough Lakers on national TV, really excited to watch LeBron, Luka, and now Mark Williams and the rest of that team play. So just a fascinating new collection of players across the league in these various teams that make me really excited for this NBA stretch run.
Anything's possible in this NBA. I'm excited to see what happens today. Should be a very fun trade deadline. Tyre, the absolute best. What do you got coming out? What are you working on? Where can we find all your incredible work?
I appreciate it. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, audio, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever. We did a pod yesterday morning breaking down Kuzma for Middleton in the aftermath. And then after the deadline this afternoon, we're going to do another show recapping all the big moves, including talking Jericho Sims and anything else the Bucks do. So definitely make sure to check us out there. And then at Ty Windish, pretty much everyone on social. But yeah, appreciate your time, Andy, and you having me on the show.
Yeah, anytime. You're the absolute best. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of Bucks stuff to talk about the remainder of this year, and we'll definitely be chatting, I'm sure, sooner rather than later. Enjoy your trade deadline day. It's always a fun one, and we always appreciate you, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
You bet. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls and texts in. Nicolay Lawfan talking text line 414-677-1250. How would you grade the Bucks trade deadline so far? It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.